Discussions with Ajahn Chichen at Vajirarama Temple, Colombo, Sri Lanka, October 2015. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Venerable Jnana Siha, the Mahanayika, Sri Lankan friends, Nina, John and Sarah.
I suggested that the discussion would be on Anapanasati Sutta, which is very important, Anapanasati Sutta of the Majjhima-nikaya. And the introduction of the Anapanasati Sutta will be given by Nina later on. And also, there are the question and answers. Now the formalities are over. I will start the discussion, and I'll invite Nina to give an explanation or to give something, introduce the Anapanasati Sutta. And after that, Achan Sujin should be asking questions. We should be answering questions. And also I have kept some piece of paper in that. I think some of these ladies will bring it to you. If you want to write your question, please write your question and send it to them.
Anapanasati is one of the most difficult subjects as we read in Visuddhimagga. It is very, very subtle, and we should consider carefully each word of the Buddha's teachings, like sati, because sati is a very difficult subject, and it leads to anatta, because anatta is the teaching of the Buddha from the beginning to the end. And I feel that life is so short, and our time now for discussion is so short, that it is better to start immediately now with question and answer.
The most valuable moment in life is the understanding of the teachings of the Buddha. And who am I, or who are we, and who is the Lord Buddha? Quite different. That's why his word brings about the understanding which no one can tell us before. That's why this moment there can be the understanding whatever appears or whatever is at this very moment. Because the previous moment has gone completely, and the future moment or the next moment hasn't come. There can be the understanding of reality right now, as Buddha taught. For example, seeing now has a reason. Who can make the rest? This is Dhamma. This is anatta, because without the ideas, without that which does not appear, there is no condition for seeing to arise. Before one can make it to arise, it's clear, it seems. At that moment here, no one can make it to arise, and this is the meaning of anatta. All dhammas are anatta. Each moment is dhamma. No one knows how. What is left is the idea of what is seen, the sight, the impression, with different colors, as someone or something all the time. That's why the teachings of the Buddha are so very, very subtle, because who can follow his teaching without listening carefully? Otherwise, it would be careless thinking that his teaching is so very easy. But actually, as to become Buddha is not easy at all. It took quite long years to develop the body in order to penetrate the truth of whatever is now appearing. That's why we learn the teachings of the Buddha with very respect. Otherwise, we cannot get any understanding because there is always the idea of I all the time. Like now, before hearing the teachings, it is I who sees, it's I who hears. But after listening to the teachings with considering, with great respect of each of his words, seeing is not I. Whatever it is not anything which can belong to me, because each reality cannot arise, it cannot appear without conditions. At this moment, who realizes the moment that seeing arises? It has a reason. Before there can be the understanding of what condition is arising, it has a reason already. At the moment of hearing, before thinking about the conditions for its arising, it has a reason right now. So, in order to understand the teachings of the Buddha, one has to learn to understand word by word, only one word at a time, in order to really get the meaning that nothing is permanent at all. At the moment of hearing, there is no seeing. At the moment of thinking, there is no seeing, no hearing at all. But who can tell us about realities as they are, as not self? Because in reality, the realities arise and fall away in split seconds. Like a magician, what is left is only the impression, the sight and the mind for the idea of something. So if we listen, study closely to each of his words, like after seeing what is there, because what we see is not known yet. Seeing is a reality which can experience only visible object right now. The words of the truth can be understood anytime, anywhere, because it's all around. When there's no hearing of the teachings, we speak without understanding. I say, I go, I do all the time. But actually, what are these realities? They are some, because even right now, there are two different kinds or categories of realities. The reality which arises and is hard and is the order of its good object cannot experience, but is there by conditions. Who can stop its arising of each reality? And if there is no experiencing, no reality which can experience anything, the world will not appear. Nothing can appear. That's why even one word of the Buddha, like the world, we have no idea between that we live in this world and there are many things in this world. But actually, if nothing arises at all, can there be any world? Not at all. But whenever anything arises, that is the world. So the world in the Buddha's teaching is whatever arises and falls away is the world. So it means that any conditioned reality arises and falls away. That's why it cannot be taken for I or anything permanent at all. But since ignorance is so great, while one is reading or listening to the teachings, it does mean that as soon as one heard, there can be the eradication of the idea of sound instantly. It takes long time for the samatha or upasaka. We can learn from the teachings about the people in Buddha's time. They had developed lots of parami of usana just to understand what is now appearing, but they cannot penetrate the truth by themselves because they have to develop parami in order to become sammasambuddho. The parami from the others are only samatha. That's why this moment is the developing a family from hearing the teachings with respect to develop the understanding little by little of whatever life appears. So there must be the understanding of this moment as non-permanent reality, seeing this a reality which can experience or a visible object. It cannot think, it cannot hear. Each one is conditioned by its proper conditions. For hearing, it does need the ideas to condition it, because the sound cannot impinge on the ideas. The sound can impinge only on the hearings. And where's the hearings? How come for it to arise? There must be conditions for everything to arise, but it's unknown if we do not study the teachings carefully. So now we are learning to understand that the Buddha taught about everything which is anatta, and all dhammas are anatta. It's not under anyone's control, and it arises and falls away unknowingly because the rapidity of the succession of the arising and falling away is so very, very rapid. That's why what is left is what appears and people and things all the time. But by studying the teachings, one learns to understand one reality at a time. Like seeing is the moment of the arising of that which can experience visible object right now. And it's completely gone. No reality can stay longer at all. Because who can understand the arising and falling away of seeing right now? It's there, it seems like seeing doesn't fall away at all. But now, seeing cannot stay long because there is hearing and thinking in between. That's why studying the teachings one way at a time in order to understand reality right now at any moment and at any place, so that one can get closer to see and understand the virtues of the Buddha. Otherwise, it seems like we do pay respect to him, but without understanding his teaching thoroughly, carefully, it does mean that we know his teaching, his virtues. That's what the Buddha said. Who sees Dhamma? That person sees me.
This Nibbana means nothingness. This Nibbana means nothingness.
I say that it means a reality which has no conditions to arise. Because whatever arises is conditioned, so it is object of attachment and ignorance. But since Nibbana is not the experiencing, is not the rupa, the reality which can our experience, it can be. It's not jivasika or mental phantom. The correct basis of Nibbana is without condition, so it does not arise, it does not fall away. Whatever arises must be object of ignorance and attachment. That's why Nibbana cannot be object of attachment. Yes, because previous moment is not this moment. and with our previous moment, there will never be this moment. So, for example, now there is ignorance, not understanding what is seen now, what is heard now. So, ignorance. And sankhara, karma from the past life, intention in the past life, conditions, birth in this life, the first moment of this life. There couldn't have been the first moment of this life if there hadn't been sankhara, karma in the past, and all the other vipaka cittas and rupas conditioned by karma are all the result of karma in the past. And moments of wholesome and unwholesomeness in this life, ignorance, attachment, aversion, when it's strong enough, it will condition new karma, which will bring results in future lives. So there is always this round of past karma conditioning, present results and rupas conditioned by karma, and on account of these vipaka cittas, like seeing now, hearing now, there are kalitsa, aversion, attachment, and this will condition karma that will bring results in future. So Paticca Samuppada, as in Mahanidana Sutta or any other sutta, is all about causes from the past, conditioning results now, and on account of those results, there are the karma kusala and kusala, which will bring results in future.
Because I think that we should consider the dependent origination of Paticca Samuppada not in a theoretical way, but the teachings of the Buddha is always in the present moment, so it serves this moment, and it is a reminder to us that so long as the avicca are our ignorance, we will be believers. It's good to have more understanding of this very moment, so that there will be very, very gradual, less avijja and more understanding. So all of the teachings of the Buddha here point to this moment now, to the reality now. Teaching, and sometimes some factors are mentioned and others are not, it's a matter of emphasize, but it's always implied that so long as there's ignorance, there will be rebirth. Sometimes the Buddha only teaches in the beginning, the factors are in the middle. I noticed that of this Paticca Samuppada. And sometimes the last factors, it's not a contradiction, but it is a matter of emphasis.
Shall we talk just one day at a time in order to understand life? Because we can see that we have read a lot about the cause, the Dhamma, and the result, the Vipaka, right? Part of Paticca Samuppada too. Because avijja is the cause for sankhara, intention to perform good deeds or unwholesomeness. It's now, right at this moment. In order to understand what is said or is taught, it can be understood right now. For example, at this moment, after birth, there must be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. These four senses are the experiences of the object through these senses, are the vipaka, the result. That's why one is born. According to karma, whether it is kusala karma or akusala karma, that's why people are different. Even animals, really, are also quite different from human beings by karma, by condition of its arising. Different shape of whatever beings, like butterflies, say, what conditions such and such, different. It is the very, very subtle combination of karma. For this life, we are here now, but there must be the moment of birth, which is conditioned by one karma. And even right now, at hearing the teachings, we have different thinking, different level of understanding. And this will condition life in the next field, in the future, no matter, we don't know when. But since the conditions, the kusala karma now is quite different from one another, that's why it conditions different people in the future. So now we were born by different karmas, but just to be born is not enough. There must be moment of seeing as the result of karma too. That's why once one was born, there must be the other moment of vipaka, the result of karma. At this moment of seeing or hearing, the reality which is experienced are different too. For example, there can be very pleasant objects and very unpleasant objects. It depends on karma to condition moment of seeing. When it is the result of the kusala karma, it conditions seeing to see or to experience that pleasant object. But when the object is a kusala, some people see and some people do not see. Because of karma of the past, we can say that, if we could talk about the Patichasamuppada, because karma does not produce a rebirth moment, but it conditions any moment of vipaka, which sees, hears, smells, tastes, and touch. And the kilesa, which has accumulated, arise after the experiencing of seeing, like a disliking, see, no body there, only different realities. That's why we can understand what is taught by way of Patichasamuppada, by the past life and present life and future right now. Because seeing cannot be controlled. No one can make it arise. Only karma, which has done before, can condition moment of seeing. For example, while one is fast asleep, no hearing, no seeing, but suddenly, there can be a moment of hearing sound. Who can condition such moment to arise, even right now? Who conditions sound to arise? Who conditions hearing to arise? All depends on conditions. So without the teachings of the Buddha, there is always the idea of self, but actually they are different realities, which are citta, the faculty of experiencing, jeta-citta, the mental factor like attachment or aversion, lobha-dosa, and rupa, the reality which cannot experience at all. So what we take for eye are only rupa from head to toe and moment of experiencing the faculty of citta with mental factor, jeta-citta. They are all dhammas. And no one can condition its arising. So the past condition must be avicca. And avicca right now will be the past avicca for the future life. It's now. Everything can be understood right now. Because there's not only a previous life. There must be this life and future lives ahead. Because karma is not ending. So the vipaka, the result, the first moment is birth moment, and in one's life there must be vipaka, the moment of seeing, hearing, and there must be the kusala and akusala, and the experiences objects related and is not coming. That's why we can simply say that life consists of vibhata and kusala or akusala according to the Buddha's vibhata, which will condition the vibhata again. Kilesavata, kamavata, and vibhata-vata. Keep on, while there is no eradication of ignorance, there must be life on and on and on and on. Can this be the very simple talking about the Buddha's vibhata?
The Buddha always knew what was the most important part or aspect to stress for his listeners, so sometimes he may have taught the first part of the Sutta Samuppada, sometimes the second part, sometimes forward, sometimes backward. Just like if he was talking about chetasikas, sometimes he just referred to hasta, contact, sometimes just to vedana, but it doesn't mean the other chetasikas arising, seeing consciousness, are not there at that moment, but just he could not include every aspect in every sutta, so it just depended on what was most useful. But it doesn't mean that, in this case, avijja isn't there, isn't included.
If you will follow the avijja smupata, avijja in the past, condition sankhara in the past, and condition vinyana now, see, birth moment. And there must be the mental factor. Whatever is taught is taught by way of the Buddha, by the link of the past and present and future. Because vinyana of the Buddha-sumabhata means the birth moment, which has to be conditioned by the nama and rupa. In this way, and since there is nama and rupa, there must be person, a mentality, jetasika, which without it, jitta cannot tend or bend toward the object right now. And after experiences, there is tanha, right? I wish not that too, again and again.
In the Mudriya Sutra, the Buddha says, birth, unexpected birth, he having conceived earth, he conceived earth, as conceived earth, as conceived earth, conceived the path from earth, he conceived earth as mind, he delights in earth, and so on. Now, what is the
Conceiving is mental mind state accompanied by attachment or mana or wrong view. That's all it is. It's a word that encompasses those three unwholesome mind states. Attachment, conceit, or wrong view.
If we're just talking about the sutta at the moment, as you mentioned that in the sutta it mentions that what one perceives, in other words, at each moment there is sanya marking each object, and on account of what is
perceive, for example, at this moment, visible object is seen, as Ajahn mentioned, but the visible object is marked, Sanya marks what is seen. On account of what is perceived and remembered, there is thinking with loba, mana, or ditti. This is what is meant by papancha or manyati, conceives manyati, we discussed this the other day. And so it's on account of what is seen or heard, even now during a Dhamma discussion, there is thinking with attachment instantly. As soon as visible object is seen, there's an attachment immediately. And on account of that attachment, there is delight, pleasant feeling, and the attachment accumulates. It leads to more attachment. And sometimes it is just attachment, just liking what is seen or heard. Sometimes there is attachment with mana, conceit, or taking it for my pleasant object may be better than another one's experience, something like this. Or there may be moments of wrong view, thinking that perhaps one should focus or concentrate on the visible object seen, or try to be aware of it with an idea of atta, an idea of self. So at that moment it's wrong view, because it's not understanding at this moment that visible object seen is conditioned and anatta. So even now, any time, moments of wrong view can creep in and experience the object. And then you refer to the four vipalasa. So because of perversion of sanya, perversion of citta, and perversion of ditti, there is, as you mentioned, taking what is impermanent now for permanent, what is not self for self, what is foul for beautiful, and what is unsatisfactory for being satisfactory. At the moment of being attached to what is seen now, it seems so very satisfactory, but actually it doesn't last for an instant. Not worth clinging to for a moment, because it's gone already. In fact, however pleasant the object, it's unsatisfactory. Even a moment of awareness now is unsatisfactory, is dukkha, because it also doesn't last for a moment. And the reason that we're talking, Ajahn was started off by talking about different realities now, is because there's only ever this moment now. So if there isn't an understanding of conditioned dharmas now as anatta, such as seeing or visible object, there can never be the eradication of ditti, there can never be the eradication of the idea of self, I can do. So that's why before talking about more subtle aspects of the teachings, one has to understand more about the reality at this moment, the namas, those realities which experience an object, and the rupas, those realities that don't experience an object, in order to understand right now that dharmas are conditioned and not self. Otherwise, there will be no end to the vipalasas. But good question.
It's a very basic question. Maybe most of you know the answer to it, but I want to know. I want to know, when I sit down to meditate, anapanasati, whether what I have to do is concentrate or observe. I have read in some books that we have to concentrate when you sit down at anapanasati. I have also heard from especially people like Ajahn Sumedho, he once came and said, it is not so much concentration, but observation of what passes through your mind at that time. Please clarify for me.
I think that Buddha said for everyone, to consider and to understand. It does mean to follow. It has to be one's own understanding of each reality, like sati. What is sati? It does mean that we have understanding of sati already before listening to the teachings. So whenever one comes to hear the word anapanasati, it seems like one knows what sati is, but actually it's not like that at all. That's why there should be the understanding of what is sati. Sati arises with each kusala moment, right? Because you see that sati also arises with the vipaka moment of result too, when it's the result of wholesome dhamma. But that cannot be known. Like the moment of birth, there must be sati. There must be sati at moment of birth to be born as human being, but it's not known. So even sati arises with vipaka, it cannot be known. As much as one can understand this moment when it arises with kusala moment, because it does not arise with a kusala moment at all. But who knows at moment of giving the characteristic of sati? Just know that there are many wholesome mental factors arising together with sati, right? But sati is not known as hiri, otapa, and other wholesome mental factors at that moment is not known. So it's only panya which can penetrate reality with understanding, not just follow the word without understanding. That's why, is it clear enough now what is the characteristic of sati and sati at what level? Because sati at moment of dana is the idea of I give. Sati at moment of sila is the idea of I, of self-sila. So it's not the sati which is aware with right understanding of a characteristic as it is, as not self. No matter it's anapana or whatever mahasipatana about, kaya or vijna or citta or dhamma, because there are realities right now. No choice, because even sati itself is also anatta, is conditioned. And there are many levels of sati. For example, at moment of understanding, it's only intellectual sati. But it's not the direct samasati of the reality right now as anatta. If someone is trying so hard to do, that is not sati. It's the self who is trying. That's why the teachings of the Buddha concerns all about understanding reality, because only the understanding can eradicate unwholesomeness. That's why, before talking about any sati sampajanya or sati at level of patipatti, one should not forget about pariyati, conditioned patipatti, and patipatti, conditioned pativeda, or in other aspect, satyayana, conditioned kicayana, and kicayana, conditioned katayana. So pariyata does mean only hearing the teachings, but it is the very well experience of the understanding of the word, very deep and very subtle too, in order to understand all about anatta. When he taught about sati, sati is anatta. When he taught about anything, that reality is anatta. All dhammas are anatta. So before thinking about doing anything, or concentrate, or try to observe anything, what about the understanding of whatever appears now? If there's no understanding of what is now appearing, it's not sati. It's only thinking about it, or it is only trying to understand it, but without considering its I again. That's why if one does not forget that the teachings taught about anatta, all dhammas are anatta, that can be the key to follow the understanding of whatever appears as anatta from the very beginning to the end, because the end of the teachings is the eradication of the idea of self and the wrong understanding of self. No matter one now has experienced the breath, but without understanding, without detachment from understanding that, no one made any choice to concentrate on it or to observe it, but sati itself is also anatta. If there is no understanding of anatta, it's not the understanding of the teachings of the Buddha. If there is no understanding of sati at level of intellectual understanding, one might take something for sati, but it's not sati itself.
So we've been talking about how all dhammas are anatta, and it's the same whether one is talking about the development of samatha or vipassana. Because once one has heard the teaching of the Buddha and understood that it is about the dhammas that arise at the present moment, then there can be a moment of understanding at any time, regardless of whether one is sitting or going about one's daily life. And breath can appear at any time, not just when one is deciding to do a practice of some kind, right? So if there is, if in and out breathing appears at any time, it can be a subject of contemplation or reflection, depending on one's understanding of it.
If there is an idea or question about what should I do, should I concentrate or should I observe, for sure at that moment it's the idea of I can do something, I can concentrate or I can observe. So it's not understanding dhamma as anatta, as condition, because actually whatever occurs at this moment, whether it's seeing or thinking or understanding or ignorance, each dharma arises by conditions, not because I can do anything. So the teaching that the Jan was explaining is all about understanding what appears now as condition and anatta, not I can do anything.
The teachings of the Buddha is for studying in order to understand. If there is no understanding, it's not the studying of the teachings of the Buddha at all. No matter it is anapanasati or whatever. If there is no understanding of breath, no understanding of sati, so it's not the development of understanding anything there. Because now there is breath, there is seeing, there is visible object, there are so many things. It depends on sati. When there is the understanding enough of parayati, because without parayati, there can never be the moment of the arising of sati as anatta. So whatever is now can be understood, in case there can be condition for sati to arise, but not at our will, but when the parayati is enough to be satyayana, right understanding of the truth. That's why now we are seeing truthfulness is understanding whatever appears from hearing, because there cannot be the understanding of seeing as not I at all. But the one is the hearing and understanding, little by little, about whatever appears, no matter if it is anatta or seeing or whatever. It can be conditions for the arising of sammasati as anatta. So that person understands that all realities must be anatta, uncontrollable. The way to have whatever arises right, like right understanding, it has to be from hearing and considering. And if one knows that, the first moment or the time of listening to the teachings, one is like newly born baby to understanding. It's not great understanding instantly to understand, but it takes what time to grow and to develop little by little. For example, even right now, we talk about realities, but still there are people around, there are things. So what is meant by no one knows that, because what is what must be what? For example, seeing must be seeing. It cannot be changed to be hearing or anything at all, because it has its own or its proper conditions to arise just to see and falls away, never to arise again in samsara. It cannot be found anywhere at all. That's why from hearing this, one knows that life is not permanent. We would like to have many things in life, but we don't know that we want to have it in order to lose it, for sure. It cannot belong to anyone at all, even what one takes for one life, my life. What is anapana? See, without understanding it, that is only a reality. It's really, it's conditioned by citta. It arises and falls away. And what's the purpose of understanding or other reality is to understand anatta in order to have less ignorance and less attachment. Because the teachings of the Buddha brings to understand in order to become detached from whatever appears. Because attachment is the second noble truth that has to be eradicated, but nothing can be eradicated except right understanding. At moment of understanding, there's not moment of ignorance, literally, because ignorance is a very enormous, because it has been accumulated from eons and eons and eons ago. So how can there be the eradication of it so soon? Even the words of the Buddha, the understanding only at that moment, can take it away just very little, like a dust, an atom. How long will it take to eradicate the idea of self and ignorance? Only right understanding. So no expectation in the teachings of the Buddha, just to understand. And what develops? Understanding itself develops. No one can develop it. That's why Buddha thought about the five khandhas, the rupa khandha, vedana khandha, sanya khandha, and sankhara khandha. And Pamya is also Sankhara Khanda. It means that no one can have it arise. It develops from moment to moment of understanding. Remember that the teachings of the Buddha bring about right understanding of no self. Is it useful to talk about whatever appears now? Because it's taught by the Buddha. Whether it is visible object or sound, seeing, hearing, thinking, they are not self, and Buddha taught in details so that there can be the development of understanding little by little. because the eradication of self must be from here develops until it is the direct understanding, which is the Satipatthana or Sampajanya, in order to understand whatever is taken for self for a long, long time ago, beginning to understand seeing, because there is seeing as a reality, not me, not time. Beginning to understand hearing, which is daily life. Life is moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. If there is no understanding of all realities in daily life, how can there be the eradication of the idea of self? Just want to see, to hear, to think, to be attached, to have more ignorance. What about next life? But it's just nibbana. Ignorance, condition, sankhara. So now, ignorance still at moment seeing. So if the condition sankhara, thinking about many, many things, doing wholesome deeds or good deeds, which will condition the next world. Sankhara condition, vinyana, which means birth. So life continues on, non-stop, when there is no understanding of conditions for its arising. The samsara can be stopped only when the conditions for samsara is ended. And that has to be right understanding of it. That's why he was the Sambuddha, the enlightened one, the awakening one. Anything else that you'd like to experience besides what is there now? It has arisen yet. And that which appears now as now has gone completely, instantly, all the time. So one doesn't realize that one feels through that which has gone completely, all the time. From nothing, no sound, and then sound, and then no sound. All realities are just like this. Is that Jedana now? See? If there's no understanding, then must be the idea of self or I. But when there is the understanding of each one, it will gradually eliminate the clinging eagerness of the self, little by little, from pariyatti theory, which will lead to the patipatti, which will lead to paddhivedha by conditions.
Just like to add a little bit more about pariyatti, patipatti, and paddhivedha, because we may think that patipatti means something like observation or meditation or concentration, but patipatti actually refers to the reaching towards the object of right understanding. It is the direct right understanding of reality, no matter its sound or visible object or hearing or breath or whatever reality appears now without selection. And the condition, as taught by the Buddha, for that right understanding, for patipatti, is pariyatti. Pariyatti is the right understanding at an intellectual level, the right consideration about reality. So now we're discussing about different realities such as karma and how really it is chetana which arises at each moment, or at a moment of experiencing breath, it is citta which experiences arupa. So the reason we discuss about different realities, different namas, those realities which experience an object, cittas and cetasikas, and rupas, those realities that don't experience anything, is to really clearly and firmly understand that there really are just dhammas, no one who can do anything at all, no one who sees, no one who hears, no one who thinks, no body here, only rupas that are experience which are taken for being the body, no chair here, only visible object which we think about as being a chair. So it's the wise consideration of the dhammas as taught by the Buddha, and the wise consideration of dhammas at this moment as not self, as anatta, that leads in a very natural way to more developed understanding, the direct understanding of reality that appears now. And that direct understanding leads to patipatti, the realization, and eventually to enlightenment. But at each moment, there is no one who can do anything, no one who can observe, no one who can concentrate, no one who can make awareness arise. There are just different dharmas that it's very helpful to consider and understand more clearly in order that eventually it will condition the direct understanding of those same realities. And for this, as Ajahn said, it's helpful to talk about one reality at a time, such as karma, and what exactly karma is.
No person at all, even right now, there are only different realities. Because seeing is seeing. Does a bird see? Does a fly see? Does a fish see? The answer? Does fish see? Does a bird see? Bird, does it see? Can you see? See? Seeing is seeing, not bird, not cat, not fish. No matter, we would say human beings sees, or Deva sees, or Brahma sees. Seeing is seeing, without shape, the rupa that we take for bird and cat and dog. We have the idea that a dog sees, a cat sees, but actually sin cannot be dog, it cannot be cat, it cannot be human being, it cannot be deva. Seeing is seeing because it sees the soul. So when we talk in the absolute sense, there is no body here. There are only different realities arising and falling away all the time. But what is left is the idea which takes whatever appears as something, somebody or I, all the time. Because of ignorance, that's why the teachings of the Buddha bring about the understanding of even ignorance, but it's not far from here and now. At moment of not understanding the reality as it is ignorance. But at the moment of understanding, it's not ignorance at all. It's different, quite different. That's why one can see Buddha taught about all different absolute realities, no one there at all. Seeing right now is not seeing a moment ago. Hearing right now is not hearing a moment ago. They are not sound. They do not belong to anyone. There are conditions for their arising and falling away in succession. But only Panya can understand that. This is the teaching of the enlightened one. As long as there is seeing and there is no understanding, taking seeing for I, there is no moment to understand seeing in order to eradicate the idea of self from seeing. That's why one has to understand that at moment of seeing, the idea of self is I see. So in order to understand the teachings of the Buddha as no self, there must be the understanding, the characteristic of any reality which appears. With the understanding of anatta, not I, who can do anything. Because that is motivated by the idea of self. And the answer being, seeing right now is seeing. It's not the seeing a moment ago. So if one can see a moment ago as I, it's falling completely, never to arise again. Is that not true? When it's true, it can be directly understood by sati and sampajanya, which is a developed panya, not by anyone. Because if one tries to have sati right now, impossible. One tries so hard to make it arise, that is not sati. Because sati and any reality must be conditioned, not anyone can make it arise.
Can one say that in a deeper sense, actually there's a new birth at each moment because each citta, each moment of consciousness falls away instantly. So there is the birth of consciousness at each moment, like a new life at each moment. So maybe a moment ago there was citta with attachment, and now there is citta with aversion. So was the citta with attachment you, or is the citta with aversion you, or maybe the citta with understanding now? So actually, there is birth and death at each moment. There is momentary life, momentary birth all the time, and what occurred a moment ago has fallen away completely. And each of these moments of citta, no matter the one with attachment, the one with aversion, or the one with understanding, each one is actually just citta, no one there. So in reality, there is only ever citta, cetasika, rupa. And what seems so permanent, like this body, are actually just different rupas arising and falling away that we call human body or a jumpsuit chin. but actually just different realities arising and falling away all the time, not any of them, me or you. So there is about that. But we are about to forget that in this non-self, at our offices, nobody can do anything. It means if there is a little time, a simple time to have sati, it's already deviating from the right path. We should not limit the possibilities for sati by thinking that we have to go in a special place or that there is a special time. It should be very natural not doing anything because that there is conditions. There are conditions for any reality to arise. And any reality can be object of sati, even attachment or anger or ignorance, forgetfulness, even that can be object of sati.
Sutta's or Vinaya or Vidana, Buddha said, seeing experiences visible object, right? Chakku Vinyana experiences Rupa Ramana, the object which can be seen, visible object. And what about understanding it as no one at moment of seeing? Or no one is seen, because what is seen is Rupa Ramana, which means visual object right now. If Buddha didn't teach more about it, how can there be the understanding little by little to see that from years and years ago there is no see about it? That's why there is ignorance and attachment to it, to everything in life. So what is visual object? It's there with the four primary rupas. Without the four primary rupas, but we, Vayu, Tejo, Apo, there can never be whatever other rupa at all. There will never be visible object. But there's no understanding of different realities as they are. No idea that, oh, it's only that which is there with the four primary rupas. The four primary rupas arise and fall away in split seconds, so the visible object which is seen now also arises and falls away in split seconds. This is the words of the Buddha, which can condition right understanding that what is seen cannot be anyone, cannot be anything at all, but as the seen has fallen away, the next citta which succeeds, the seeing consciousness, experiences the same object, visible object, but it does not see. See, this is the teachings of the Buddha, in order to see the different moment as not self, so that it can bring about the idea to understand what is seen now at this moment of only that which can be seen, not that which can be touched at all. So Pariyatti is so very, very valuable for anyone who hear and consider and follow it little by little, to have one's own understanding, to be confident of the teaching, that if there is no understanding of visible object right now, as is only that which can be seen, it's impossible to eliminate or eradicate the either self from anything in a day. See, that's why one can appreciate and praise the virtues of the Buddha's wisdom, that he taught out of his great compassion for the others who cannot think of reality by oneself at all, just after reading, hearing, and considering it so many, many times in order to just begin to understand his words, because his words is the words of truth. Even right now, what is seen is no one, nobody. But without the four primary rupas, there cannot be different color to be the impression of sign or mark or idea of things and people right now. So it takes time to understand the teachings of the Buddha.
As we've been saying, the Buddha taught the understanding of dhammas. And these dhammas are momentary. But all his teachings, the suttas, whether it's the Satipatthana Sutta or the Mahayana Sutta, is about the understanding of presently arising dhammas. And what about the Anapanasati Sutta? Yes, it too, because it begins with reference to anapanasati, but it ends with reference to understanding of dhammas of all kinds. So the person who has heard the Buddha's teaching, who wishes to develop anapanasati, is also developing understanding of dhammas. It is not that one excludes the other, or that one precedes the other, and the other follows the first. At any moment, there can be an understanding of presently arising dhammas.
And the if one ignores the teachings of the Buddha, there will not be the understanding of whatever appears in life, in daily life, as not self at all. That's why there shouldn't be one's own way of thinking, because it's not the way the Buddha taught to develop understanding of whatever appears. No selection. Because otherwise it would be I who selects. At this moment of seeing, there's ignorance of seeing. Can there be the understanding of seeing? At this moment of thinking about what is seen, actually it's only the moment after seeing. Seeing itself cannot think at all. It can experience only that, only one reality among all realities that can be seen. The other realities, like sound, cannot be seen. Hardness cannot be seen. Citta, the consciousness, the experiences cannot be seen. The mental factor cannot be seen. So who can imagine the moment when understanding is that degree that it can experience directly the truth of whatever appears there? So many moments of thinking as the moment of seeing and hearing in darkness, because only seeing the object is that which can be seen. It is visible object. But at the moment, who knows? All arises and falls away in darkness all the time. But Panya can understand that which experiences that. It does not have color, it does not have shape, it does not have form, it does not have a hardness or whatever rupa, that which cannot experience, because it's just the element, no shape, no form, no rupa in it, arises, just experiences now. No one knows self. That which is experienced is only an element which is conditioned to arise and to see right now. But the teachings of the Buddha conserves whatever appears so that Panya can develop, because it's there, this moment, or any moment in one's life. Without the teachings, there's no understanding of whatever appears in one's life at all. So there must be ignorance and attachment all the love, as before. This is the moment of paying respect to the Buddha, to his great virtues, his great wisdom, his great virtues, and his great compassion. the moment of studying with respect and begin to understand what he taught. Because it's the best gift or the most valuable moment in life to understand what he taught about whatever appears now as that self-doubt.
So I'd like to ask if there is any sati now. Any sati now? The reason I ask is because at a moment of dana, moments of generosity, there is sati, moments of metta, kindness, as we were reminded when we were reciting, there is sati, awareness, and at moments of bhavana, there is sati, at moments of kusala, moments of understanding, there is sati. But if there is just concentration without any understanding, it's not a moment of generosity, it's not a moment of kindness, it's not a moment of understanding. So just concentrating without understanding, no sati at that moment. So the understanding is very important. Otherwise there will be no idea when there is sati and when there is not sati. So this moment of listening and considering more about realities, there are moments of wise consideration. So at these moments of wise reflection, there is sati at these moments.
So, when there is discussing and considering the Dhamma, and there is wholesome citta, that is, considering the Dhamma, sati is arising. If there is any level of understanding, then that is the right reflection of the Dhamma, Dhammanasati, also one of the 40 subjects of contemplation mentioned in the teachings. Sages, those who were inquisitive in attainments, but those attainments were worldly attainments. They wanted to approach the psychic powers, like clairvoyance, clairaudience, like divine night, like that, and also collection of reminding the past events in one's life, like that, they wanted to reach the world attainments. But for the first time, the Buddha introduced Anapanasati, how to attain Nibbana. Because when we reach at least the fourth stage, Asambhayam Kaya Sankaram asasisamiti sikkati, regarding the breath as kaya sankara. And next, vachi sankara and chitta sankara, regarding it as sankara, and how to develop sankara conditionality into unconditionality, visankara chitta. Visankara chitta means how to remove the mind from the worldly condition, conditionality. So therefore, Anapanasati Sutta is very peculiar to Buddhism. So therefore, we are desirous of removing from this recurrent cycle of birth, this samsara. I think your discussion is very important to remove from this cycle of both samsara. Thank you very much.
Acharya Suji, and who has been here, as I said, in 1977, and in 1979 she has been here, and and we were happy to see you after such a long time, and may all of you, even, and also Lina, and also and Sarah have attended. I think that's the first time I've seen in Jonathan. Yes. So whatever it is, it's a very good, it's again four persons who have got it. And then they have been supporting each other, the way that they have been trained to explain the Dharma. And so it's extremely interesting the way that they handle that. And we like to, what we could offer is protection. And for that we'll ask the Mahanayaka Thera and others to chant the Parikas and then give bless.
Sabbityo vivajyantu sabba rogo vinassatu mate bhavatarayo sukhi dikayako bhava bhavatu sabba mangalam rakhantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavena sada sutti bhavantu te.